Welcome to BEN,
Blockchain Education Network.
The largest and longest running network of students, alumni, and professors excited about blockchain across the world. A podcast for students by students, sharing their vision that anyone, regardless of wherever they are in the world, will be able to use blockchain as a vehicle to create wealth for themselves and their communities. This is BEN,
the Blockchain Education Network.
Hey everyone, welcome to the podcast of BEN Turkey. Today we have Nicolo Travia joining us from BEN Italy. He's been one of our greatest members there over the past 7 years, right? And when the chapter was initially founded, right, Nicolo? Am I correct?
Yes, it's correct. Since 2014.
That's amazing. It's really amazing to see BEN members joining and being part of BEN since so early. And in Turkey, we have Ege joining us from Bilgi University Club and in Istanbul. Ege, can you give us a little bit of introduction of yourself?
I am a student from Bilgi University, studying public economic finance. I'm also interested in crypto, and we have a blockchain group in our university. That's all I can say.
Amazing. It's amazing to see how Bitcoin keeps growing so much. And for those of you that are listening, just 2-3 days ago, we had the Coinbase, largest company in the crypto space, doing its first IPO. And this is tremendous news. And it's really amazing to see how the space has grown so much from what was in 2017. And now we have companies like Coinbase doing its first IPO and stocks being traded at $300 a share on NASDAQ. But at the same time, we have other news that Nicolo had the pleasure to share and make us aware about, was the fact that recently the Turkish Central Bank did a Bitcoin ban. They banned all the transactions. Can you guys expand a little bit more on what happened and how this can affect all the students there and learning about blockchain and even using it?
I can say actually they didn't ban Bitcoin. There's a company called Papara. They can't control fully about transactions in there. That's why they said it like don't use crypto coin as a payment. You can still invest crypto coins. You can make transfer, don't pay anything else, but just don't use it as a payment. That's what they said right now.
But do you feel like that this could affect also like bank deposits, since the statement comes from the Turkish Central Bank, if I am correct? Do you think that this could cause problems for crypto related activities to open bank accounts and manage their accounts if the profits come from Bitcoin or crypto related activities?
Yeah, I have a fear about that government will not stop with this. They will open more things. They will say much more things. Maybe they even ban investing crypto, or maybe get tax, really high tax from it. I don't really know, but for now, in our also for students, for people, there is nothing much changed right now. We just don't use Papara or things for now. We just directly put our money from bank to centralized exchange. That's the only thing changed. It's that. Yeah.
So, Ege, can you explain a little bit to people outside of Turkey that might listen to this podcast? How do things work there? We know that Binance is a major exchange, and when you guys want to trade Bitcoin or Ethereum or any other currencies, you have to transfer from your bank account, let's say at BBVA Bank in Turkey, to the Binance account. Or do you need to transfer to the entity that you mentioned, Papara, right? If I pronounce it correctly.
Yeah,
how does it work?
Papara is only, I think Papara have agreement with some of the exchange. They just lower the fees. That's why people use Papara. In other that, they nothing really much, actually. Personally, I wasn't use Papara anyway. I was not using it. I was I just sent my money to exchange from my bank account, not using Papara. So I can say there is nothing much changed, actually. Yeah.
Okay. And when you send your money from a bank account to the exchange, do you have to pay for that transaction?
Yeah, a little bit, but not for exchange. For example, when I put my money to other account, I still pay fees, like as I send it to exchange, same fee, not much.
Okay. Nicola, I was going to ask you, is this something that you see also happening in Italy? Do you have to pay that fee when you do transfers on a Swift transfer, or?
I'm not quite sure about how this works. I mean, I think that Papara is like a service, payment service provider, maybe.
Yes.
That you use like PayPal or something like that, just to, it's in between your bank account and the receiving and the recipient, the exchange, correct?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So not really. I mean, it's not really used in Italy. We all have directly access to from the bank to the exchange, or vice versa. I mean, from the exchange to the maybe the thing is this, that also in Italy many banks give issues if they understand that the money comes from an exchange. So maybe this is why some people feel more comfortable of putting an intermediate in between, so that the banks don't recognize that the payment is coming from an exchange. Probably this could be a motivation for this.
Yeah, that's really interesting. But there is also something very important about this piece of news, is that from what I understood on the outside of Turkey, is that they also banned it to be used as a form of payment. So from what I understood is that companies there cannot use it anymore as payments to receive. Like if a store wants to use, not let's say not Bitcoin, but Bitcoin Cash, for example, to receive payments for a coffee or something, that now is illegal, right? Am I correct?
Yes. Yes. Now they changed to that we cannot use it anymore because they don't see as money. Cryptos as money right now. So that's why they don't have any regulations for it. They cannot tax it because it isn't money or else. That's why they just banned to use cryptos as a payment.
Yes. Part of the article that Nicolo shared with me, I noticed that Royal Motors, which distributes Royal Royce and Lotus cars in Turkey, was the first business accepting cryptocurrency payments in the country. But now it's going to be short-lived because they can't accept it anymore to be illegal to operate in Turkey.
And is it correct? I was reading that also there has been, since the decision of removing the past governor of the central bank, the lira has like been put under attack, the Bitcoin price has surged, and transactions have surged in Turkey. Is this correct in the past weeks?
Yeah, actually past months, because of our currency gets lower every month, people intend to put their money to crypto. As I heard from the website, Turkey was third or fourth in the world most investing to crypto, and first on Europe. I can say I think that this is because our Turkish lira gets lower every time. That's why people try to put their assets to crypto instead of holding Turkish lira.
Are you aware of any judicial initiatives that are going to be brought against this decision?
Sorry, Can you repeat?
Are you aware of any judicial initiatives that are going to be brought against this initiative? If there are any crypto lawyer or maybe some association like Ben in Turkey plan to go to court against this ban?
No, I actually was in Clubhouse with a teacher from Sabancı University. He's also a financial advisor. His name is Özgür Demirtaş. I was just hearing him, and I was just listening to him, and he said it around like this. I don't know too much people from being lawyer or something.
Well, answering your...
This would be very, and sorry, Antonio, very quick. This would be really interesting to bring to the European Court of Human Rights, this decision. I mean, but you need to do all the steps in your local jurisdiction. And if you don't get any recovery, then you can go to the European Court of Human Rights, which Turkey is a member to the convention. So we're going to look into this and give you all the support if this is the case.
Yeah, I was going to say, Nicola, from what I read on the news, Binance is trying to appeal the case. Probably they're going to try to go to court or work alongside the government to try to find the best possible outcome. And something important to mention is in 2016, Turkey also banned PayPal. And it really seems that as the Turkish lira gets devalued in international markets, people try to leave the lira, and the government is acting in the best interest to protect the Turkish lira. So I also noticed that using dollars as a form of payment in Turkey is illegal. And I think probably euros are. I don't know if Ege can expand more on this. Can we pay with dollars in Turkey, or would I can get arrested for that, or is it a big problem?
Well, what do you mean by paying with dollars? Anything you say?
Yeah, like if we go in Turkey and pay for something in dollars at a store or just something small, is that illegal?
No, it's not actually, but some of them accepts. I don't know the exact thing about it actually. Okay. I don't see much change from when I go from Turkey to Italy or Turkey to Europe. Some of them accept, some of them don't. So maybe they have to change from the change from the thing that we just put our money to take back.
Yeah.
Maybe they can use it as normal. I don't know anything. I don't know too much about it.
Yeah, I totally understand. I was going to ask you, what is your opinion? How you think that the Turkish people feel about this? You think these measures from the government can actually protect the Turkish lira as a currency, or it makes it even worse? What do you think, in your opinion?
From government perspective, you say?
Yes. From what do you think that the people in Turkey feel about these measures? Do you think that they believe it's good for the country that they should do this, or it should be something that it doesn't really help to protect the lira because people find other ways to move their money into dollars or Bitcoin or something, some other currency?
There is a one thing that I'm sure of, that government policy for me, because they said like we are making a reform, we make more transparent about our exchange and stuff, but now they are changing. They changed twice about central bank. Our central bank
director.
Yeah, our central bank director. They changed twice in the couple months. Now people for example, especially investors, don't believe too much because they said it like we will just stop doing it. We will make more transparent here, but now they just fired off a director and put anyone. And he did twice in the last month. That's why I cannot say that we are going good. People in these days, people put their money anything instead of Turkish lira, as I'm seeing. That's my opinion.
And also, do you feel that academic activities will be fostered by this decision? I mean, would you feel safe and cool to do a course on Bitcoin and things like that, or would you feel to be more attentioned and watched by the government?
Not in my personally. That's my opinion, but. Not in my country actually, but not in my university, but I saw many, I think some of the university have infected by it, because they are now appoint a guy from by not electing him. For example, did you heard of Boğaziçi University? They put a director, they appoint a director directly. Not with election. That's why it affects the university with this, I think, in a bad way.
No, that's really interesting, and it's very interesting to hear your opinion first. And another thing I'd like to ask you, and I can speak from my experience living in the United States, is using the dollar, and currently what we're facing due to COVID is the prices of goods, like going to the supermarket, are increasing every day, and even services here in the United States. While are you experiencing the same in Turkey? Are you guys experiencing a lot of inflation? Do you notice this on a day to day or no?
I can say much more effective. Much more. Yeah, like 10 times, maybe 5 times or something. It increased too much. Yeah, we feel it. Yeah.
So from lunch, going by buying lunch or any simple thing, right?
Anywhere, yeah. Even when buying a water, yeah. And there's a statistics institution called TWIG. They just released their inflation rates and saying like you can buy, for example, this with. For example, 5 lira or something. But when we go to the market, we see that this is not real. The price inflate too much, and this is go that way. So yes, yeah, we are affected too much.
Yeah, no, yeah. All our students across the world have been experiencing. Inflation rising, especially during the pandemic. And even Nicola, I was going to ask you, have you seen this happening in Italy now with the current COVID crisis?
Well, you know, not really, because the European policies from the last years, from the 2008-2009 crisis, have been very much about stabilizing prices, and with quantitative easing, all these measures are making sure that the prices are stable. So this will obviously, I mean, my view at least, will have a negative impact in the future. But now I don't feel that, I don't feel any inflation really. I don't feel it in, I know that the problem is with salaries. Because the purchasing power of the salaries are blocked in Italy since a very long time. So this is the major problem. But the fact that they are not really updated to the cost of lives, but not I don't feel an inflation due to COVID. Not okay. Really.
And do you know what is the current interest on bank accounts that is being offered? In terms of a percentage, is it like 2%?
It's negative.
Ege, what do you know the interest rates in Italy? In Turkey?
Yeah, it's positive. Like it was 90%. 19%.
19%.
Yeah, it was too high for now.
Okay.
And by the way, the last director change from central bank because of this. Government don't want to increase the interest rates, but the last director did it anyway, so that's why it changed.
Okay. Yeah, this is quite interesting that we see a lot of socioeconomics and politics playing out in the United States. The interest rates 0%, 1% for people that put money in their savings account. Italy is negative. Across the European Union, would say it's negative and doesn't change for years. And in Turkey, they had the 19%. And I think that was a policy from the central bank to sort of try to compensate for inflation, because usually central banks do that. And something interesting that I remember from hearing from my grandparents was before, for example, Portugal was part of the European Union, there was interest rates of 25%, but then the currency was also going through a lot of inflation. So it's very interesting to see how things sort of play out in different regions of the world, and having our students giving their experience and sharing that. Nicola, do you got any other questions, or we can end it here?
Definitely, this is a very recent news. So I think we should follow what's going on and maybe have another talk in a week or in a month, 2 weeks, to understand how this really affects this ecosystem, and understand how this can also be a prejudice for academic activities and band activities. And hopefully we're going to see also some initiatives, judicial initiatives going on, and maybe we can just update each other in a couple of weeks to understand how the things are going.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it'll be cool.
Yeah, in my opinion, in next days for Turkey, in next months maybe, they will see crypto not as a money. That's why they will probably see it as an asset. That's why they will tax it. That's what I'm thinking.
What is the current tax structure? If let's say you make $1,000 in Bitcoin in profits, do you need to be taxed? Do you need to report to the government?
There is no rule at the moment. There is you can just pay transaction fee. That's what happens. You don't pay any tax, any government tax other than that.
So there is no regulation. There is absolutely
there's no regulation for crypto at the moment. Normally we pay 20%. It's called katma değer vergisi in Turkey. For everything, especially, but there's no regulation for crypto at the moment. So if they see as a money, they cannot put tax. But if they see as an asset, they can put tax on it. That's what I'm thinking. Actually, they will probably put a tax.
Maybe it will be similar to the US, where they tax it as property, where it's the same as if you sell a house. Which is very interesting how they
came up with it. That's exactly what I'm thinking.
In Italy, since 2017, our national agency treats cryptocurrencies as a foreign currency. So if you have like more than 50,000, I think, euros deposit in a like 15 days or so, you have to declare it. And you have to pay capital gains, 26% capital gains when you sell, when you make a profit.
And by the way, there's a fun fact. I don't know if it's true or not, but government, as I heard, government tries to create a crypto until this year.
I saw that.
Yeah, right.
I saw that. You think that's gonna become a reality? Because from what I understand, only more the west side of Turkey, Istanbul and big cities, people have access to mobile phones and internet. Because the east side of Turkey, people still use cash on their day to day, right?
Yeah.
So, what do you think is the goal with that? Why would they want to create a digital lira?
I don't know what's the plan or what the project will about, but we will have too much investor from Turkey. That's what I'm aware of. People in media saying like, if something like this happens, I can put my money on it. But I don't really know what's the thing, what's the project.
So in the bottom line, do you think that like personal retail accounts held on exchanges will be affected by this? Do you think that it is possible that there will be measures affecting directly personal savings online on like custodial wallets or exchanges or not?
If you are thinking about now, I don't think so. I don't think so. People change their investing ways now. But as I said, if something taxation happens in next weeks, next months, it probably gonna change everything in the about crypto in Turkey.
That's definitely really interesting. And I want to say thank you, Nicolo. Thank you, Ege, for sharing your experiences, what you experienced on your day to day. And I hope our listeners enjoy this podcast. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Antonio. Thank you again.
Thank you, everyone.
This was another episode of BEN,
Blockchain Education Network.
Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes. Also, keep up with us on Twitter and Instagram @blockchainedu. And visit our YouTube channel for more valuable blockchain content.